Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
You're not?
No, what? No. But he is my favorite conservative.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I am thrilled to announce we finally have our locals community.
Woohoo!
Woo! So to become a member is absolutely free. You just go to myfavoriteconservative.locals.com. We will definitely have this in the show notes. And if you want to support our community, which allows more engagement, we have a special going on right now. So our goal is to have 100 members by my birthday, which is...
You're going to celebrate your 39th birthday on August... It was close. August 15th.
Yes. So our goal is to have 100 members by August 15th. So that's about 5 weeks away. So help me celebrate my birthday by helping us get to this milestone. Again, myfavoriteconservative.locals.com. We will put in the show notes. And for the first 25 people who become a supporter, we're giving away a free one-month trial with the promo code FREEDOM.
Okay.
So again, we'll put all of that in the show notes. And if you're on our email list, you'll get it as well.
All right. Awesome.
All right. So we start each show until the election with the latest polling. So let's get into it. Whew. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it. All right.
In the Real Clear Politics, the RCP national average poll, this is Trump versus Biden. Last week, Trump was up 1.9. This week, Trump is up 3.3.
Ooh. Now, we should say that all of these polling numbers are not completely, are not complete just yet because some of the polls that they use in this have not polled since the debate.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's fair. Why don't you give us this day in history?
Well, yeah, this day in history. So we always look back on in 2016 and 2020, where how far Hillary was ahead and how far Biden was ahead of Trump. So in 2016, at this point, Hillary was 4.7 ahead. And in 2020, Biden was 8.7 ahead. So yeah, little reversal. So now Trump is up 3.3. So that should be a little writing on the wall.
But I'm going to say, especially when it came to Hillary, the polls were completely wrong.
Correct.
They were. They 100%. Were absolutely wrong. So. All right, let's get to the battleground states.
Let's do it. Let's start with Pennsylvania, which is where the Biden is campaigning right now in Pennsylvania because he's really worried because last week Trump was up 2.8. This week he is up 4.5. Oops.
Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, yeah.
All right, let's go to the southeast because I think this is kind of fascinating. So last week in North Carolina, Trump was up 6.7. He is still up, but he has gone down to 5.8.
However, so, that's still outside the margin of error.
Yes, of course. Same thing in Georgia. Last week, Trump was up 4, and now he's up 3.7. So again, well within the margin of error, but a slight decline in the southeast.
I'll bring us back. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, why do you think that is in the southeast?
I don't know. I don't know whether they don't have the complete results in of the polls, like we said earlier.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, going from 4 to 3.7 is not that big a deal.
All right. Take us to the Midwest.
Let's go to the Midwest here. Let's go with Michigan, where last week Trump was up 1.2. He's now up 1.5. So a little increase there. In Wisconsin, Trump last week, it was a virtual tie of 0. And now Trump is up 0.6.
Definitely within the margin of error.
Why don't you finish us up out west?
Yes. So Nevada last week, Trump was up 2.8. He is now up 4.6. I would say that's a big jump, just like Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Nevada was weird. Something happened there because he was up 4 and 5%. Then all of a sudden it was only 2.8. And now he's back up to 4.6. So something, there had to be some bad polling numbers in there.
And in Arizona, Trump last week was up 5.6 and he is still up, but it's a slight decline. He's at 5.4. So not a huge change in my mind, except for Pennsylvania really sticks out.
Well, in the national poll of everything where he's now up 3.3, I mean, that's huge. You know, because that takes in a lot of liberal, huge states like California, too.
Yeah. So let's get to our main show. It has been quite a week. All right. So are we staying with the current events themes for the show this week?
Yes and no.
All right. Do tell, you hunky, hunky man.
Thank you for reading that properly.
He literally wrote that into the script.
I always try to sneak something in.
I know. I know. I went with it.
Thank you, Mrs. Burgundy.
Yeah. So what are we talking about?
All right. We are going to start today's show actually by doing a real-time autopsy of the current predicament that the Democrats, that we, I guess everybody finds themselves in with President Biden.
Yeah. All right. So do you tell?
Well, you know, usually after an election, right, everybody looks back and they're like, oh God, what happened? And they they do this autopsy. So we thought, let's find out who is to blame for this mess. I will give you five names.
Okay.
For this, and I'm gonna let you guess.
Okay. Five names. One of the names has to be Clinton.
Correct. That's actually two of the names.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay. So, all right. So,
Bill and Hillary Clinton.
All right. So, help us out.
Why are they responsible?
Why are they responsible?
Let's look back. All right. Okay. At the end of Clinton's term in 2000, when that election happened, he was out of office.
He'd served two terms.
He established the Clinton Foundation in 2001.
Okay.
Because he had to keep some sort of grift going after he was president to make money. And they have used the Clinton Foundation very liberally for their expenses.
Yes. And I just want to throw in, as the founder of a nonprofit, you can look up the 990s of any nonprofit. And I do recommend that you look up the 990s of the Clinton Foundation. We are not just making this up. When you see how much money actually went to staff and overhead versus the programs, it's disheartening. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, so let's follow it here. So okay. Hillary, you know, gets handed a Senate seat in New York, basically.
Yeah.
And she decides to run in 2008.
It's her time.
Right. People don't trust her. Obama beats her.
Yes.
Right. They don't trust her a lot because what they're seeing at the Clinton Foundation and whatnot. But Obama goes and makes her Secretary of State. Right.
Yes.
Because you have to keep your enemies close.
Yep.
He did not want her being on the outside of the administration running in.
No, that was a smart move on his part.
Absolutely. So he makes her the Secretary of State. But unfortunately, Hillary reverts to her natural instincts. And instead of using her government email server, she sets up her own, which everybody's well aware of this, in her residence, puts all the correspondence on there, which is completely illegal to do.
Yeah.
She gets caught. And
so why did she set up the private server, in your opinion?
Well, because she wanted to keep especially all the Clinton Foundation information
private
okay. for her. Yeah, absolutely. She got caught. She deleted 30,000 emails that had been subpoenaed and everything else. So it's kind of funny. She doesn't want to stop. The reason that she had that set up is she doesn't want to stop that very lucrative income they were getting from foreign donors to the Clinton Foundation. That I think was kind of the main thing. But the bottom line is Hillary loses to Trump in 2016 because of her untrustworthiness, right?
Yeah, it is.
She could have easily won if this whole email thing. So her greed and whatnot of setting up this server causes her to lose the election. She should have easily won this, served two terms.
Yep.
Therefore, no Joe Biden presidency at all. He'd have been gone. Absolutely. And what I found kind of funny was after she loses in 2016, the foundations to the Clinton, the donations to the Clinton Foundation dropped 75%.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. All the altruistic talks of doing good deeds for poor people and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. No, it was paying for access to Hillary. So.
We've got a hello. We're just going to show real quickly. Hi, Shirley. So, ciao. Hello from sunny Rome, Italy. Oh, my goodness. I am so jealous right now. American expat veteran here, Trump 2024. Oh, gosh, Shirley, thank you so much for your service. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate that.
All right. So you said five people. We got two out of the way. I know who the third person is.
Okay. Explain.
Because I blame him, too. Barack Obama.
Correct. Barack Obama. So why do we have Barack Obama to blame for Joe Biden. So remember when Obama ran, he was a very young senator, right?
Yes,
hadn't
he
served even a full term yet.
Yep.
Yes, he ran in 2008. He needed a running mate with air quotes gravitas.
Yes.
Right. So he wasn't going to ask Hillary.
No,
not a chance, because she would literally like shiv him on inauguration
she
day.
Would
right?
have,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah. He'd have this like, whoa, what's in my bag?
But he did need, and I'm just going to say it, he being the first, potentially the first Black president, he needed a white person as his VP.
Yes. But unfortunately, he chose idiot Senator Joe Biden from Delaware.
Yes.
Now, Joe was old. He wasn't that bright. But he'd been around forever.
Okay.
And he really didn't pose a threat to Obama.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was
going to say, so the bottom line on this, on Obama, is he should have never chosen Joe Biden to be a heartbeat away from the presidency. He knew if something were to happen to him, Joe Biden would not have the acumen to be president. And
so now Biden is neither smart and
Biden's always been stupid, but now he's stupid and senile.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Combination there.
I know who one of the people is. She better be on this list because I blame her.
She's not.
We're going to talk about Joe Biden, right?
At times, let me go to person number four out
number
of our
four.
Five.
Can you give me a hint?
Congressman, South Carolina. There's a lot of them. So.
Okay, tell us.
All right, James Clyburn.
Right. Okay, why do you blame James?
James Clyburn is a 15-term Democrat senator, Republican, Democrat member of the House of Representatives from South Carolina, and he is a Black man.
Need term limits, I'm okay. Just saying, for everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So why Clyburn? And I know, right. I just want to throw in, that you worked on this and finished this yesterday, and you told me this got mentioned on a morning show this morning.
Yeah. Maria Bartiromo's show. Yeah, they brought this up with James Clyburn too.
Okay, so tell us why.
The backstory is in 2020,
okay.
Right? Joe Biden's running for president in the primaries, in the Democrat primaries.
Okay.
All right. The first primary, actually a caucus, is Iowa, comes up. He finishes in fourth place behind Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Bernie had momentum.
Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So a nice fourth place finish in Iowa. Not a good way to really kick the whole
season off. But then he went to New Hampshire.
Yeah, then he went to New Hampshire and finished even worse. He finished in fifth place.
I remember this.
Behind Bernie.
Who had momentum.
Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Elizabeth Warren, and then Joe Biden.
Yes.
There was actually one more primary before South Carolina, which was Nevada, which nobody ever pays attention to, but at least he finished in second place there, but again, behind Bernie Sanders, right? So there
Bernie was making a comeback.
Bernie was rocking and rolling, and the Democrat establishment was going insane because they knew Bernie, first off, was an independent. He wasn't even a Democrat. Okay. They knew that Bernie was so far out there that they could not get him elected.
And they couldn't control Bernie.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
they just couldn't control him.
Yeah, Bernie.
So back to Clyburn.
So now it's the South Carolina primary, which is it for Joe Biden. It's his last hope to stay in the race. He has to have the Black vote. There's a huge Black vote in South Carolina.
Right.
So the only way to do that is to get James Clyburn's endorsement. That James Clyburn is actually 3 years older than Joe Biden's, and he's been around forever.
Okay.
But he has this gravitas among the Black community, especially in South Carolina. So
how did he get Clyburn's endorsement?
So how did Biden get Clyburn's endorsement? Is he promised James Clyburn that he would name a Black woman as a Supreme Court justice if he were elected? All right. Now, the funny story behind this is,
we're going to get into the weeds.
So Clyburn's excited about this. All right. I'll go ahead and endorse you, Joe, if you say this. And they had a debate coming up, the South Carolina primary debate.
Right.
And so the debate's going on, and they're like halfway through. Biden hasn't mentioned a thing. Clyburn is incensed sitting in the crowd.
To be fair, Biden probably forgot.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, they go to commercial break, and Clyburn sends his people backstage, and they're just reading the riot act to the Biden people. You better say, you know, right now, we need it in the next 5 minutes. And so they come back from commercial break. And the actual question that CNN asked Joe Biden was, how will your cabinet ensure the best advice on issues that affect women's physical and financial health?
Okay.
So that's the question. Biden completely ignores the question and responds, I will appoint a Black woman to the Supreme Court. And everybody's like, that wasn't the question, but he also said
he would appoint a Black woman as his VP.
Yeah, that was a little bit later, he boxed himself in, yes. Hence we have Kamala.
Yes.
But so anyway, he gets Clyburn's endorsement. He wins South Carolina, which puts the wind in his sails. That's because they realize the next, you know, you're going to have Alabama and Arkansas and a lot of heavily Black primaries, and Biden rides that. So the bottom line is, without Clyburn's endorsement, that Joe Biden is just a footnote in history as a very mediocre to poor vice president.
Okay. Yeah. To recap, if you're just joining us right now, we're talking about the five people we feel, especially Edward feels, are most responsible for the predicament we're in right now with Joe Biden. And so the first two are Bill and Hillary Clinton, President Barack Obama, Representative James Clyburn from South Carolina, and the person I blame, especially for the current present situation, is Jill Biden.
You are correct. That is number five on our list here. So you want to go ahead and take this one?
Yeah, because you know how I feel about her.
You do, so yes.
If anyone knows that he is not mentally fit to be president, it's his wife. It's Jill. She sees him. And he wasn't, you know, mentally competent in 2020. You could argue that. But he's especially not now. I mean, he's just not. And the thing about Jill is she knew the media would cover for Joe in 2020 because they hate Trump. And she knows this, right? But she is also, I feel, she is showing her true colors. She is so freaking power hungry. And her husband's health be damned. We talked a little bit about this, or quite a bit about this last week. I feel it's 100% elder abuse. I really, really do. And she knew, Jill, that if he did not run in 2020, you know, let's say Biden had just said, you know, I'm done, you know, let the next crop of people come up. The Biden family business would be over.
Yeah.
There are too many people in the Biden family, like way too many to name, that make money off that name.
Yeah. By the way, what is the family business? His name.
His name.
That's it.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah. And what we've heard recently, just in the last day or so, is the person really pushing for Biden to stay in this race is not as much Jill as it is Hunter. Because Hunter won't have a job. Let's be honest.
Yeah, Hunter is worthless in terms of making money, anything. You know, everybody knows his problems, but he realizes if dad gets booted out of the race,
he's in trouble. He's got nothing.
He's got a conviction. He's now
true.
A convicted
right.
felon of which he will be pardoned, even though Joe Biden says, I will not pardon my son. I guarantee you he will.
Of course he will.
And the money dries up.
Yeah.
It completely dries up. Is anybody going to pay Joe Biden, you know, $10 million to write a book?
Well, maybe not now. No.
No.
But the bottom line this one is, it's Jill's lust for power. It's her greed and her insecurities have completely overridden what should have been a protective spouse. I mean, that's your job, is to protect your spouse. And I don't think history is going to look kindly on Dr. air quotes, Jill Biden.
Correct. I'm 100% agreement on that.
All right. So we know who the five people are. Now let's talk about this next segment that we feel like a lot of people might have missed because they dropped it on a Friday afternoon, on the 4th of July weekend. President Biden gave George Stephanopoulos an interview on ABC. ABC. Again, this past Friday. So go ahead.
Well, I find it interesting. The interview was originally, it was going to be done on Friday. They were going to show it on George's Sunday show.
Right.
And they moved it up to show the whole thing on Friday night because so much crap has hit the fan for the Democrats, and they are trying to put out these fires. And that's so this was not only to save his candidacy, but also to try to save his presidency.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So ABC News said it was 22 minutes, totally unedited. We have to take them at their word. And we watched it, and by the way, and it did seem unedited. I will say that.
Yeah.
What I noticed right off the bat was he had on more makeup than he had on during the debate. Like he almost had that sort of like fake.
He went to the Trump orange.
Oh, yeah. It was like a fake tan. Yeah. Well, I was going there. Who was that actor who's known for having that tan? Was it George?
George Hamilton.
Yes. That's what I thought it was. He kind of reminded me of that. And his eyes were a little sharper. We actually could see some blue, but they still looked a little beady. And just keep in mind, whatever drugs they're putting into him, that's when his pupils become dilated and he looks like really beady and weird. So right off the bat, I was looking at his appearance. And again, so more makeup and eyes a little sharper, perhaps fewer drugs. What was your takeaway?
Well, you know, it was George Stephanopoulos, who was a Clinton operative for many years, right? So it was a question, was George going to throw softballs or was he given instructions to take him out?
Yes.
To go for the kill with the questions.
Yes.
And I was a little surprised. He asked tougher questions than I expected. Now, the Democrats are famous for, they would ask a tough question. The person would filibuster and the Democrat would filibuster and answer.
Yeah, Obama was the king of this.
But then they wouldn't follow it up and they wouldn't stay focused on it. And so he actually kept following up on Biden and did not let Biden deflect because Biden immediately went into created 50 million jobs.
He kept following up. And then I think the best part of the interview was right afterwards, they went to four reporters on the screen.
It looked like they were at a funeral.
It did look like they were at a funeral. They all just looked distraught, jaws dropped. Yeah. It was quite something. So I'm sure you can find it online. I don't know if you can find the total 22 unedited version now. They probably have chopped it up and made it look much better than it was. But
well, for me, the bottom line on it was it didn't do what it was intended to
it
do. It did not save his presidency, I don't believe at all, or his candidacy. So obviously time will tell here.
All right. So what's next for the Democrats? We are going to make some predictions. And it's interesting because we went separately on this and we kind of came back together and talked about it. And I think we're pretty much on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So go ahead.
Well,
start us off.
All right. So here's my prediction. And by the way, just so you know, as we're filming this right now, as we're live right now, it is Sunday afternoon. And in just about an hour or so, Hakeem Jeffries, who is the minority leader in the House, and if the Democrats take back the House, he will be the Speaker of the House. He has convened the top 25 Democrats in about an hour for a meeting about Joe Biden.
Oh, my God.
So
I'd love to be a fly on that wall.
Yeah, yeah. So this everything could change. However, here's my predictions, our predictions. I think that Joe Biden is going to announce that he is leaving the race, but will finish his term. And I think he's going to say something like, I know I am fit to do this job to finish out my term, but I think, as you know, it's time for the next generation to come along, and I think I should step aside.
So he won't admit to any health issues?
No, okay. No, not at all. And I think that there's going to be this now slobbering love affair for Kamala. He's going to say something about, you know, I'm going to rely on Kamala even more, even though she's been with me every step of the way in this wonderful administration, what we've done and everything else.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here because we really did talk about this. Like, you know, what do you do about Kamala? We talked about this a lot last week. And, I just don't think they're going to be able to get rid of her for so many reasons. But it's also an opportunity for the Democrats to take pride in making history, right? So they can say she's the first female president. She is the first Black female president. I mean, so there's a lot of sort of bragging rights that they would get.
Yeah.
And now what I want to understand is, if he passes the baton to Kamala, and because she's already on the ballot, can he just give his delegates to her?
Yeah. So he can assign, okay. he can urge his delegates. I don't believe they are bound necessarily, but if you're saying, this is the person that I am endorsing, please give them to her. I think they will. And it also, what it does is there's about $200 million that is in their campaign war chest. And with her being part of the Biden-Harris ticket, she would be able to keep that. If they tried to put somebody else in, that money would go to the DNC. Mm-hmm. And the DNC would spend it on Senate races and House races. And if they thought the presidency was lost, yeah, the presidency would get no funding.
Okay. All right. So I know you have another prediction. I don't know that I agree with it, but if Kamala Harris becomes the presidential nominee after the Democratic convention, you have a prediction on the beat.
Yeah, I do. I think there is a possible Kamala Harris, Gretchen Whitmer ticket. Now, Gretchen Whitmer is she's a Democrat governor of Michigan.
Right.
Her profile has been rising very, very quickly.
Yes.
She does have some baggage related to the way she handled COVID, which was not good.
But she's in a swing state.
She's in a swing state of Michigan, which the Democrats have to win Michigan. They really do. I think it could, always having your governor on a ticket, on a national ticket like that, can swing that to the Democrats. So that could kind of be, you know, their move to at least solidify. And it would also give the Democrats the option of saying, we love first, right? This would be the first all-female ticket. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think it would be smart of Whitmer to accept?
No.
Okay.
After I said all that, no. I do not think it would be smart for her to accept, because Kamala Harris's negative ratings are almost 60%, right? They're really bad. So would she be willing to sit behind Kamala for possibly 8 years? Because once you get a Black woman president, it was just like Obama. Are you going to kick him out of office after only 4 years? You know, the media would be completely on board with, you know, pumping her up and not making her look as bad as she normally is. So I don't know if she would be willing to sit behind a Kamala for 8 years. And
so she could run in 2028.
Yeah, the smarter play is not to accept. We all know Trump's only got one term to serve, right? So he's not going to be running in 2028. It would clear the field.
That should be a relief to people,
right?
Okay?
And she would only be 57 years old in 2028. So she's still Whitmer.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the bottom line is, if Biden won't quit the race, the Democrats are not going to use the 25th Amendment on him, because, you know, basically it reveals to the public that they've been lying to him for all these years, right?
And if he does voluntarily quit, the Democrats are stuck with Harris, and we feel like she'll lose big time.
Yeah, we think this is kind of a lose-lose.
Like, there's no, but I think what's interesting, a point you made earlier, and you might be, you're going to get to this. So that they might be willing, and I, and this is 100% you, that the Democrats might be willing to lose the White House.
Yeah, I think they might be willing to accept losing the presidency.
This time.
Yeah, for this term, because again, Trump's only one termer, right?
Yes.
They will fight like hell to save the Senate. It's going to be difficult. They have a lot more seats to defend than Republicans do.
Okay.
And they could possibly even win back the House. I think the Republicans only have one or two seats majority in that.
Okay,
so that's more doable.
Yeah.
You know, that way they can derail any Trump legislation, you know, along the way. And they only have to do it for 4 years, because they know he's, you know, out. But my question is, and we'd love feedback from you people out there, is if the Democrats keep the House, what's the over under on how many times they're going to impeach Trump?
What do you mean by over under?
What's the number that you think that they would, how many times they would impeach Trump? Are you over that number or under? To me, that number is like five. I think they will try to impeach him every couple of months.
I still don't get your over under.
All right. So let's say five is the number that I think that they're going to impeach Trump five more times. That would give him a seven-time impeachment, by the way.
Yeah.
But do you think in the next 4 years, if Trump wins, the Democrats win the House, they would impeach him less than five times or more than 5
minutes. Oh, I see. I see. Okay. You're doing like this weird Price is Right thing. I
mean,
I,
there you go.
I would say more than 5, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. But I do want people to remember Trump only has one term left to serve. Yeah. That's all. So for the Democrats, if they lose with a Biden-Harris ticket or a Harris-whomever ticket, they are clearing the deck for the next generation and getting rid of their Kamala problem for good.
Yeah. Yeah. There have been focus groups that have been set up, especially with Black women, and they are 100% behind Kamala. And yes, they warn the Democrats, if you leapfrog over her with a white male, especially, God forbid, you will be toast, absolute toast. So, you know, basically, if Trump finishes out his next term in 2028, can you say President Pete Buttigieg?
No.
I think there's something to be said there, to be continued.
Oh God, really?
Oh, not, I mean, I'm not endorsing him at all,
I think he checks boxes.
Again, they want to, you know, Democrats love these first, right? And the first gay man, openly gay man, of course, they'll tell you there were, you know, 30 gay presidents before this, but yes, first openly gay man with a husband, to be president.
Okay. I am not going to make that prediction at this time.
Okay.
But I do think when you just objectively, when you take a step back and you look at Republicans versus Democrats, and let's take Trump and Biden completely out of the equation there. When you take a step back, I do think the Republicans right now have a deeper bench.
Oh, by far.
So, you know, I think this is a very interesting strategy to be willing to lose the presidency, because it would give them 4 years to really deepen that bench.
Yeah. And they need it too, because you can't have the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's. They're all close to 80.
Everybody's
or
too
above
old.
80.
Okay.
Yeah. It's time to move on. Get the youngsters in who are in their only 50s or 60s.
Right? I mean, I don't like either candidate on the ballot. Yeah.
By the way, Pete Buttigieg would only be 46 years old in 2028.
Isn't that the age Obama got elected? I think
that or Clinton,
yeah,
either one of them.
Either
yeah.
One of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that is, I forgot even the name of our topic. What did we call it? That was sort of the, why we have President Biden. Duh. Okay. Why we have President Biden. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Dems.
Yes. Yeah, he could have done so much better. I just want to throw one more thing in there before we go to my favorite segment is, do you remember what Obama said to Biden when he decided, remember he didn't run, when he decided to run?
In 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to do this, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a ringing endorsement from your former boss.
That was Obama saying, don't do this. So anyway, all right. Let's go to my favorite segment.
Yes.
This Week in Woke. You may have already heard about this, but we've been saving this one. Oh, real quick, Shirley, let's feature your comment. Thank you so much. Would you say, at most 2 times, but the public is now tired of their games. They will look bad and not very democratic. So she says 2 times that they'll try to impeach him again.
I got to go with more than that, simply because
I think it'll be higher.
They impeached him. Remember January 6th, he was leaving office and they still impeached him when he was out of office. So, you know, they probably got their talking points. They probably got them already lined up. You know, we're going to do this and that and this. And so,
Shirley, thank you so much for commenting in real time. And again, oh, sunny Rome sounds wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. All right. This Week in Woke. Again, you might have already heard about this. This is from our good friend Patrick Riley at the New York Post. This is the headline. Actually, you read the headline and I'll go into the
headline.
Story.
Texas mom claims she was kicked off United plane for accidentally misgendering flight attendant.
So a Texas woman was traveling with her 16-month-old son. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. Don't travel when they're that young. But anyway. And her mother claims she was kicked off a flight home after she accidentally misgendered a flight attendant. So this woman's name is Jenna Longoria. So she was boarding her flight around 9 a.m. At San Francisco International Airport when she said, this is according to Jenna, she slipped up and addressed the United crew member by the wrong pronoun multiple times. And she said, you know, when the flight attendant, who identifies as a woman, gave me our boarding passes, I said, thank you, sir. That's it. That is it. And she's still very confused over the incident. So the flight attendant in question got very upset. And so Jenna says she walked to the plane. She went down the aisle, Then they held her mother back and wouldn't let her come with Jenna past the gate. So Jenna is now getting on the plane and her mother and her 16-month-old son are being held back. She gets on board and she asks another male flight attendant for assistance and like basically like what the hell is going on? Why are they holding my mom back? And the flight attendant said, he, and I said, yeah. And then he said, she's wearing a dress. So, I'm just going to say here, Jenna, we feel you. We're with you. It sounds like from everything that's been reported that you looked at this person, even if he, she was wearing a dress, and accurately assessed them to be a biological man. And you were being polite and said, sir, and there's nothing wrong with that. And this is so sad. So she says, my son is in my hand crying. I'm trying to get off the plane. And she's right. Her prerogative as a mother is to make sure her son is safe and not the pronouns that someone goes by. So she admitted on social media that she's not very versed with pronouns. I would argue, Jenna, you are very versed in pronouns. So at the end of the story here, Jenna, her son, her mother were barred from getting on the plane, which departed with their luggage and their medications on board. And this makes me so glad that most of the time, although I think I am in a few weeks, most of the time I don't fly United.
Yeah. They're definitely not on the list because their CEO is actually a drag queen himself, Scott Kirby. So
yes. Yeah. And when you first told me about this story, my first thought was the shareholders, the CEO. And then you showed me some video of the CEO.
Yeah. He's quite a looker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But let's get to the bottom line of this. Okay.
You're just bottom lining
everything. I'm bottom lining everything today.
Okay.
This will get the hate mail going, get us banned from whatever. But there is no such thing as being a trans man or woman. You cannot transition to another sex or gender, and they are the same thing. I don't care what you call yourself. You do not get to pick your pronouns. You can pick your name.
Yeah.
You can choose whatever name you want. But you're not going to make me and the rest of society, normal society, if you will, play into your fantasy that you are pretending to be somebody else that you will never be. It will never occur. And that's it. You can dress up, you can do whatever, but you're still a man. You're still a woman, no matter what it is, what you were born with, what your chromosomes are. Very simple.
You know, I think what's interesting about this particular story is that if I were the flight attendant, I would be so relieved that somebody had manners. I would be so relieved, right? That someone said, thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know, I would be completely relieved. I mean, I remember the first time someone called me ma'am and I was taken aback because I was like, I'm not old enough to be a ma'am, am I? But then I realized I'd rather have someone who has manners.
Well, just remember though, this was a flight from San Francisco.
That's true.
And there's, shall we say, a bit of a activist community out there.
Yes.
Of the gay trans community. Yes. And gays, you should be outraged what the trans people are doing to your flag.
Yes. So. Well, we know several who are.
Indeed.
All right. So time to do a shout out. And this is a shout out with comments. First of all, we got an email directly from our website from Colleen. I did try to reply, Colleen, but I'm not sure the email address you gave us was real, but that's okay. But I did. So Colleen's essential comment was that I should try to stop looking at the script when Edward's pontificating. And Colleen, I really appreciate that feedback. I am the play-by-play person here. He's the head writer. He writes the script and I put in my two cents, but it is my job to keep us on task.
You do well.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So I do sometimes look at the script. And then some comments that we got last week. We featured her today. If you're watching live, Shirley, I just thank you again so much. Shirley said last week, you two are a dynamic duo. Great show. Well-organized and very informative. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you, when we get to Italy one day, we're going to look you up. And then we also got a comment from Lucas, and we're not giving last names on purpose. It's a very nice talk. What a great couple. Very informative. Let's see, too, with some in-depth analysis that wasn't covered on many channels. So last week, we did a really in-depth show on the substance of the debate, not just on President Biden's health decline.
So we've fooled at least two viewers.
Hey,
sweet.
What do you mean by that? Come on. No,
thank you so much for the comments. And the great thing is with our new locals community, it makes it a lot easier to comment, to post and whatnot, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I will get to that. So, all right. Oh, Shirley, we're going to show your comment right now. Speaking of, so she says, okay, maybe three times, but in the end, they will only waste time and resources and always lose, like Wile E. Coyote.
Coyote, I love it.
Oh, Shirley, you are taking me back.
Bringing back some Roadrunner.
Oh, gosh. I don't know why I watched that, because I was like, the Roadrunner always wins. Like, always. Thing. Every time.
It's in the theme music.
It is.
Roadrunner's always going to win.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks again so much, Shirley. And thank you for joining us today. Please follow us on all social media channels. We are live most Sundays, including next Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stream live on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. And like Shirley today, if you're watching us in real time on YouTube, you can comment directly on the show. I'm not sure you can do that on every single channel. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops on Monday, so tomorrow morning, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. And just to recap on our locals community, we are so excited and we are going to put this in the show notes. Membership is free. It's myfavoriteconservative.locals.com. That's myfavoriteconservative.locals.com. And if you want to support the community, we have a special promo code for the first 25 members. We have a free trial to support the community. And that promo code is freedom. Freedom for the next.
Freedom.
Week. Yeah.
I like it.
Freedom.
That's a good one.
Yes. So learn more. And as always, you can reach out to us just like Colleen did at myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show.
Join us next week because we could have a new administration, a new president.
We could. Yeah, absolutely.
Never thought I'd be saying that like in the middle of a campaign, but
because that meeting is going on right now.
Correct.
Yes. Right now with the House Democrats. So who knows? We'll be back. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.